Basking in the love of Jesus, beholding His face. It will seem but just a moment, I'm praising His grace. That will be a glorious day. Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. All the holy angels and loved ones who stay. That will be a glad reunion day. Amen, boy. Amen.
You got one there, James? Somebody said,
right?
I said, you can't sing. That's why I know that. My mama told me
not
to hear.
My wife's always telling me that.
They didn't hurt my
feelings.
One day we'll all sing.
Yeah. Amen. We'll be part of that angelic
choir,
amen.
If anybody can do better than me, I'm welcome. And that way, when that bigger get in. Yeah, I was going to say somebody told me good sign. I'll tell you who. And they're running.
Journey on towards heaven, shining gold. We make suffer pain and loss. Your burdens on the grain, the
blessings if we live
in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow?
Good song.
What about number 63?
121. Haven't you believed? It's over here. Then she said, over here. E. Yeah, that's right. E. It is, as you know.
I want to say it.
Where?
I say four.
Some that morning
we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joys ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints arrive, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. And now I almost see all the same thing, riding for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change will come to thee. All the living saints will fly to their jubilee. What a day of singing, singing. What a day of shouting, shouting. Happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. What a day of glory, 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 hallelujah, glory. Meet our blessed Savior yonder in the skies. All that heavenly host we began to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. What a day of singing, singing. What a day of shouting, shouting. Happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. What a day of glory, 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 hallelujah, glory. Meet our blessed Savior yonder in the sky. Amen.
Amen. We appreciate you coming, Brother Richard. It's always a blessing to see you show up. I know you don't feel like singing, but I'll tell you what, boy, I sure do. Love to hear you sing. Amen. Has anybody even got a special on their heart tonight that they would like to share with us? We'll certainly give you an opportunity to do that. If not, let's open up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me get wired up here tonight and try to share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I don't think it'll be a very long service, but I'll let the Lord make that determination and that decision. You never know what the Lord's doing. Sometimes I make a mistake of thinking I know what He's doing. But I do wish I had more of an understanding what the Lord's doing. Let me say again, they're having revival tonight at Bethel Baptist Church in Glasgow, and I hope to get over and get in on a little bit of that tonight. But Hebrews chapter 10, if you got your Bible there, I'm going to read one verse, go to God in prayer, and I'll be commenting on other verses as I preach. But our one verse is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I want to preach tonight on how to stay in church. Kind of a simple message, but I believe the day and hour we're living in, much needed message. And I desire your prayers tonight. Ask you to pray with me and for me. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of standing preaching from the Word of God. And Lord, I consider myself, Lord, dear Father, tonight inadequate to do anything without the help of God. Therefore, I'm asking, dear Lord, right now, that, Lord, you would overshadow me and all me from on high, and give to me to give, Lord, to these that are before me. And Lord, I need some myself, so I pray you preach to me and through me. May you be honored and extolled and worshiped here tonight, Father. And Lord, we just pray for all those that stand for the Word of God tonight. Lord, every church that hadn't failed by the wayside, those, Lord, that are still working and watching, Lord, wanting you to come back, I just pray, Lord, you'd visit them from on high. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for whatever you do. Ask it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. How to stay in church. Sounds pretty simple, don't it? I've seen a lot of people get out of fellowship with God. And over the years, I haven't been saved as long as some of you. I'm not as old as some of you. But I've still seen it, and I'm sure you've seen it too, and we could all tell tales that would probably never end about people that we thought would never get out of church, and next thing you know, they're out. But before I preach tonight, I want to comment on verse number 22. We sing that song. It says, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Verse 22 says, let us draw near. That's one way to stay in church, is draw near. It says, also let us hold fast. That's another way to stay in church. The last thing there, it said, let us consider one another. You know, I need you to help me stay in church. And I hope to be of some benefit to you to help you stay in church. But we need to consider one another. I mean, I don't have no S underneath my shirt. I'm not no Superman. I'm just a saved man. But even being a saved man, I'm telling you right now, there's a real devil down here. He's not a roaring lion, but he walks about like a roaring lion. And his purpose is, Jesus told Peter that Satan had desired to have him, may sift him as wheat. I'll tell you right now, just in lieu of the fact there's a devil down here, in lieu of the fact I've got this flesh to deal with down here, and my flesh wants to do contrary to what the Spirit wants to do, and there's constantly a battle going on with Eddie Wade, and I'm persuaded going on with you too. And that battle sometimes don't always go like I want it to. I remember times on days gone past when I yielded to the flesh, missed the blessing, amen. Okay. Maybe you've been there too. If you have, don't be ashamed of it. There's been a lot of people that have been there. But I'll tell you one reason that people get out of church is because sin shall abound and the love of many will wax cold. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 talks about. And you know, we used to heat with wood and on. Many years ago, back when we lived out there on 9,000 Ebony Road, we heated with wood. And I remember getting up early in the morning and going down there and opening that door on that wood stove. And during the night, the fire had went out. And I'd get that poker out and get the poking in there, Brother Bobby, and work around a little bit. And I'd see a little ember in there, a little coal in there. And I don't know how y'all did y'all's fire, but I mean, we wasn't all that knowledgeable, but I'd get to fan that thing a little bit, and it'd get turning redder and redder. And the more I work with it, redder it'd get, and finally I let up, and a little old flame raise up. And get it kindled up again, start throwing some kindling in there, put some wood in there. Next thing you know, the fire's back going again. And staying in church is kind of like that. Peter said, I think in it, brethren, while I'm in this tabernacle, stir you up. How did he say him do that? He said, by way of remembrance. You know, sometimes we're creatures of forgetfulness. And that's kind of a good thing, because there are some things I want to forget. And I thank God for that blessing to be able to forget some things, but there's other things I don't want to forget, and I end up forgetting them too. And that part about forgetting I don't like. But there's some things that I want to forget. I don't want to remember some things. And, you know, I don't really want to elaborate on that. Maybe you might entertain that thought a little more of what I do, but I'm glad there's some things I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget the fact I'm saved. I don't want to forget the fact that, you know, I owe a debt. A debt. He deserves better than I can give. I mean, the Bible doesn't say this, but he does deserve the reward of his suffering. He deserves more than I can give. Yeah. I know we're down tonight. But I'll tell you this much, he deserves this place to be packed. He deserves us, buddy, to sing our best. We may not be able to sing that good, but he deserves us to sing our best. And I'll tell you what, our best songs, one song said he matched our soul's best songs, and he does. But these days we're living in, the love of many is waxing cold. These days we're living in, sin's abounding. And sin, one thing about sin is it kind of like draws people to it. And you got to work on staying on fire for God. Now, when I told you about working on that fire, if I didn't work on that fire, we froze to death. But by working on that fire, we got back on fire and got a fire going. Amen. A good example of what I'm trying to say here tonight, the Bible mentions there in Matthew chapter 26, verse 58, it talked about Peter, that he followed the Lord and he followed Him afar off. Now you can follow the Lord. You can follow Him as close as you want. You can walk with Him. You can walk in the light. He's in the light. You can have fellowship with Him. Or you can follow the Lord and like Peter, follow afar off. Nobody will speak against that, because I mean you're coming, but you know you're not where you ought to be. You're just coming more or less out of necessity, because you know somebody's going to say something if you don't. And I was telling Melvin today about a girl I believe it was at Melvin's sister and I was at Noel Brockman's church over at Saline Baptist Church. She was a piano player. Man, she'd been a piano player for years. And they had a good service one night. She left the piano, hit the altar, and everybody thought, what in the world? And she said, I used to think I was saved, but she said, I've realized tonight I'm not saved. And, you know, she'd been living in denial all them years, and it happens. But she hit that altar at night, got things right, got up with victory. But a lot of people, you know, they get in that about going to church. They know it ain't, you know, that they ain't right, and they're falling afar off. They don't want nobody to say nothing about it. But as Peter followed the Lord afar off, in verse number 58 of Matthew chapter 26, two verses later there, verse number 70, the Bible said he denied that he knew Jesus. Now Peter had already said he'd never deny Him. He said, I'm ready to die with you. I'm ready to go all the way with you. Though I'll forsake you, I'll never forsake you. Yet he followed the Lord afar off. In verse 58, or verse 68, I guess it was, verse 68, because two verses later, verse 70, he denied that he knew the Lord Jesus. Now, I know we don't have no Peters here tonight, but even though you don't say that you deny that you know the Lord Jesus, the Bible said in the book of Titus that many profess to know God, yet in works they deny Him. So even though you don't say it with your words, you say it with your works. In other words, it don't add up. I mean, people look at you and they come up with this, and I thought he was a Christian. And that's what happens when you follow the Lord afar off. You're not as strong as you need to be. You're not as straight as you need to be. And you get to jaywalking on God. And an old baseball game said strike one, strike two, and strike three, you're out. And that's an old story my pastor told one time, and I never will ever forget it, about a young couple got saved. And man, they steadfast. I mean, they loved the Lord. Man, they moved up on the front row. Man, a blessing. And I tell you what, boy, I like them kind of blessings. I'll take a front row pew, get them in here, herd them in here, whatever, fill them up. And they sit up there, boy, amen, glory, hallelujah. That went pretty good for a while, Molly. They missed one Wednesday night. Just one. That wasn't no big deal. I mean, good grief, just missed a Wednesday night. But that gave the devil opportunity to do what he wanted to do anyway. Next time they come, they move back a little bit. He's back on the next pew back. And that went pretty good for a while. And after a while, they missed on a Sunday night. I mean, that ain't no big deal. Missed on a Wednesday night, missed on a Sunday night. Still not all that bad to come back. Next time they come back, he's back a little further. Kind of following afar off. I'm going somewhere. Bear with me. I don't know. I'm letting the Lord lead here. You wonder why I'm walking around. I'm trying to make sure I say what the Lord wants me to say tonight. But I'll tell you what, the next time they missed, they didn't come back. How'd that happen? Well, I'll tell you what the man said, and let me tell you what happened after they didn't come back. Now, this is a good couple. They got saved, love the Lord, sit on the front row, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah, shout. Like Sister Janelle, woo, glory! That's the place to stay. After they didn't come back, the pastor read in the paper there, where there had been a shooting. And to his amazement, the man and his wife, the husband had shot the wife with another man in a Walmart parking lot And now he's in jail. Well, the pastor went to visit him. That's not really the way I like to visit people. I'd rather visit them in their home. But he went to the jail to visit him. And the man had killed the wife and killed another man because he was doing things he shouldn't have done with his wife. And rage and jealousy rose up in him and he killed them both with a shotgun. The devil loved every minute of it. And the man spent a life sentence in prison. But the man left behind a testimony. And here's what he said. He said, "Pastor, this all started that night we missed that Wednesday night. See, it don't never show you how far it's going to take you. Old song used to say, sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. Cost you more than you're willing to pay. You know what? One Wednesday night don't really sound that bad. But one Wednesday night led to a Sunday night. And that led to no night or days at all. And the next thing you know, I'm in it, strike one, strike two, and then they're out. Amen. Well, I'll tell you right now, you don't need to follow the Lord afar off. You need to stay close as you can. And I mean real close, especially in the dead hour we're living in. But verse number 70 of Matthew chapter 26, he denied he knew the Lord Jesus. Verse number 72, he denied it again with an oath. I mean, he said, "I swear I don't know him." I mean, he done said, I'll never deny you. I'll never leave you. I'm ready to die for you when words are cheap." But he denied with an oath. He said, "I swear, I don't know him." Now for Peter, the one that I'm thinking about, Peter, that the Lord said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And some said, "Thou art John the Baptist," and some said, "Jeremiah." Others said, "One of the prophets." But he said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter jumped up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He's the one doing this denying. Verse number 74 of Matthew chapter 26. He denied him again and began to curse and swear, saying, "I know not the man." Next time Jesus called him Simon, son of Jonas, was in John chapter 21, verse 15, when Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" I've always wondered what these was. I don't know if it's fishing nets or fishing buddies or fish or what. But I know one thing, he was making an emphasis on something. He said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Anything comes between you and the Lord will end up being that category more than these. And I'll tell you what, if you love the Lord, you'll spend time with Him. If you love the Lord, you'll want to come to church. If you love the Lord, you won't have no problems. But if you don't love the Lord, the devil will make sure to find you another love. And the Bible talks about there in Revelation there, chapter 2, verse 4, the Lord said to the church of Ephesus, He said, "I got somewhat against you because you've left your first love." Amen. And I know the day and hour we're living in, the Bible does say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, that there will come a falling away. And that is talking about the church. There will be a falling away. There will be, the number will grow smaller. It will get down to the little nucleus of the ones that really truly love the Lord. And I want you to know, the devil, he comes around and he's looking for those that are, for those that are out of the flock. And they become an easy prey to him. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy. There will be a falling away. There will be the sin abound. There will be many of the love wax cold. And the 2 Timothy tells us what will cause it. It said there will be perilous times. It said men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God in 2 Timothy chapter 3. When you get to where you love pleasure more than lovers of God, you're in already the category of them. They won't be able to stay in church because I'll tell you what, they'll have a war going on. They'll have that carnal lust wanting the things of the world. Paul said about Demas, he said, Demas has forsaken me having loved this present world. But he said there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said this, "Know also that in the last days," that's where we're at, "perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." He said they'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means no steadfastness, fierce, despisers of those that are good, and we'll stop at verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I'll tell you what, buddy, that cause people have a hard time staying in church. But let me say this about not missing here. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10, he said, "Herein I give my advice." He said, "Stay faithful, don't miss, and stay fruitful, bring others." You'd be surprised what bringing someone else with you to church will help you about staying in church. I mean, man, it's a blessing to bring someone and to see the Lord meet their need or maybe minister to them in some way. Man, I tell you what, stay faithful, stay fruitful. Then the Bible says that the time is short. But 2 Peter in verse number 1 talks about some things that if you do them, you'll never fail. And there are some things that you need to do. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. He says this right here. He said, "Beside all of this, give diligence, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and can't see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." He said, "Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall." And I'll tell you what, buddy, you're going to have a trouble if you don't do some things. I believe staying in church takes some work. I do believe we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Then in Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16, it says, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read." It says, "No one of these shall fail." You fail to read that book, I'll tell you what, your love will get cold and you'll get stale. And the next thing you know, buddy, you'll be like my car. You'll start missing a little bit. It won't be too long, buddy. You'll quit running. Amen. Paul talked about the church of Galatia. He said, "You did run well. What did hinder you?" But let me give you some things you're to keep doing to stay in church. You're to keep forgiving. You're to keep praying. You're to keep growing. You're to keep reading the Bible. You're to keep loving. You're to keep watching for the Lord. You're to keep reaching out in your neighborhood. There are all kind of people out there who want to know if anybody cares. And I'll tell you what. One reason we're down here is to show the light of the Lord to this world, but also show the love of God to this world. I appreciate y'all taking it upon yourself to give to William, his family. That'll mean a world. It may not be a lot of money, but it'll mean a world to them to know that you care enough to try to help them in this matter. Amen. But I'll tell you what, buddy, the day and hour we're living in, they're falling out like dominoes. Man, it break a pastor's heart. It ain't just here. I hear it on the radio. I hear Ron Ralph saying, "Y'all pray, our numbers are getting down." I hear Brother Rick say, "The numbers are getting down." And you know, people ain't showing up. People ain't coming. I'll tell you how to stay in church. Just make up your mind.
That's right.
Man, if it's up for discussion, the devil talk you out of it, just make up your mind. Say, "We're going." Now, I tell you what, glory to God, it was a good day when I went to church with my family, but I met business, Brother Melvin. I didn't just go with him, Betty. I went all the way. I mean, I don't know, I heard a song one time that said, "I went all the way for Jesus." That's what you ought to do, not half-heartedly serve the Lord, but wholeheartedly. I mean, boy, with all your might, serve Him. Strive to be a blessing. Set the standard as high as you can. Go all the way. I don't know what it is about it, but everything I've always done in my life, I've always just half done it. Have hardly done this, have hardly done that. But with the Lord, boy, it's been different.
Yeah.
I'm always seeking, is there anything I can do more? Is there some way I could do more for the glory of God? Is there something else I could do? I believe it's a byproduct of the love that He had for me to forgive me and save my soul. But I'll tell you one thing, boy. I want to do all I can. What time I've got, do what I can. But I can't do nothing if I ain't in church. If I'm out of church, amen. The Bible talks about the time being short, the day at hand. And I tell you, buddy, it's an epidemic. People falling out of church, they start missing, and then the next thing you know, they turn up missing. Little boys, little girls, They think, boy, if I could just get out from underneath mama's rule or daddy's rule, and they slip out at night and run out, slip out the window and leave with a bunch of boys and go down the road, and the one that gets killed, that young girl slipped out, thought she was going to have a good time. Well, that's kind of where staying in church is. I don't know what in the world was so good that kept me from getting in church. But now I'm of the mind like Paul, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm pressing towards greater things. Paul said, pressing towards the prize of the high calling of God's in Christ Jesus. I mean, I'm pressing along. Those songs says, press along, glad soul, press along, reaching out the message grand, letting love, God's love, be your song, press along to glory land. What a song. That's exactly what we need to do as a church. I know this 2013, I feel like we're overdue for leaving out. I don't know why the Lord's delaying. I just know one thing. I'm supposed to keep a working, keep a watching, keep a working, keep a witnessing, keep a inviting people, keep going and praying and working until Jesus comes. I don't know what else to do. But I do believe the Lord is about ready to come back. And I'll tell you what, if He does come back, Molly, I want Him to find me in church. Can you imagine how tall Peter felt? When he told his buddies, I'm going fishing, they said, we go with you. And they all went down there, boy, and went out there and toiled all night long, never caught nothing. The reason they went, that's all they needed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, here they are, cold in a frog, cold in a wedge. And Peter jumped up, and he was pretty much the speaker anyway. He said, I go fishing. They said, we go with you. And they went out there, boy, and never caught nothing, Brother Melvin. But the Lord showed up, and He said, have you any meat? And they said, no. And He said, cast on the right side, I believe. He said, and you shall find. And they cast their net on the right side, and they couldn't even pull the net in for the multitude of the fishes. And somebody said, it's the Lord. The Bible said Peter girded his fishing coat because he was naked. That's just a sign of poverty. He didn't have really no money. He had to take care of the clothes he had. He wasn't trying to show off his nakedness or nothing. Just a sign of poverty. But the Bible said He girded him with His fisher's coat, and he jumped in and swam the shore. And when he got to shore, Brother Melvin, my pastor said that he said, come and dine. And he said, that's when I believe the Lord did turn the rocks into bread. He said, the devil said, command these stones, they may be bread, thou may eat us thereof. He said, I believe that's when the Lord did that. He said, come and dine. They found bread and fish upon the fire. He said, I believe Jesus done that day right there. And they came and eat. Nobody said nothing because they knew it was the Lord. Man, there wasn't no question about it. And that's the way He's going to show up one day. He's going to show up. They wasn't expecting Him. Man, they done got colder than a wedge. Man, they done got out of church. But I'm glad, praise God, He's coming back for church. But I'd rather be in church when He comes. Man, I'd rather be, right where I need to be, working, watching, playing. And I'll tell you what, witnessing, telling somebody about Jesus, said, there He is, amen. But oh me, how to stay in church. Well, the Bible's pretty clear. It just says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's the best way I know, to stay in church. It says, not forsaken. Somebody said, nowhere in the Bible does it say they've got to go to church. Well, let me read it for you. Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There it is. It says stay in church. It says go to church. It says don't be nowhere but in the church.
Amen.
That you might encourage someone that's down. That's what exhortation means.
Right.
One another. And it says do it even more, so much the more, as you see the day approaching. I see the day approaching. The signs, Jesus said there'd be signs. He said there'd be signs above, signs beneath. And all of them point to one thing. The same God that came down here as a little baby, born in Bethlehem, that ascended up. In Acts chapter number 1, as those men of Galilee stood there gazing, they ascended up in the clouds. Those angels said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going there is going to come again one day in like manner. He's coming back. We see the day approaching. He told us things that we'd be able to know. And the signs are everywhere. Man, I'll tell you what. There's more than enough signs. We see that day approaching. We need to stay in church. As a church, I know this is just a building. But it's a place of worship. until the Lord shows up. He told us to occupy till He comes. That's where He's going to find me at. He's either going to find me in church or He's going to find me wanting to be in church because they've closed the door. But I'll tell you right now, that's where I want to be when He comes. Amen. What I say to you tonight, buddy, we need to stay in church. Amen. He said, let us draw near. Verse 22. Let us hold fast. If you'll draw near and hold fast, you'll be able to stay in church. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. I'll tell you right now, hold a profession of our faith without wavering. And the reason for that is because faithful is He that promised. There never was one more faithful than Him. And the Bible said that He loved the church, gave Himself for it, purchased with His own blood. He said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's just something about that word church. Man, oh man, you hear that song the Eagles sing about Hotel California, and it's actually a really sad song. Most people don't know the story behind that song. But that song, Hotel California, is about the first church of Satan. It's in California. And it actually was a church. And the church fell apart, split, ended up for sale, and Anton LaVey bought it. Anton LaVey bought it, and he made the first church of Satan in a building that used to be a house of God. That's why that song says we've not had that spirit here since 1969. That's what that's talking about. Not had that spirit here since 1969. That whole song's read about a church of Satan in California, Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. And I'll tell you what, buddy, they write a song about church of Satan. The world don't even know it. Man, I have to admit, I listened to the song myself. I thought it was pretty good, you know, the song, but I found out later on what it's really talking about. You can stab it with your steely knife, but you can never kill a beast. Talking about Satan. Man, I feel sorry for people that took abode in a place like that right there. I feel sorry for a church that ended up in that kind of category. That went from light to darkness, that went from Jesus to Satan. I feel sorry for that. But we hear that song, Hotel California. We don't even realize what they're even singing about. But that started probably, somebody fell out a little bit more. Next thing you know, the whole church fell through, ended up for sale. And Anton LaVey bought that church and made it the first church of Satan. It can happen. It can happen everywhere. That's why the Bible tells us to be steadfast, to be vigilant, to be sober, for our adversary the devil walk about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants you, Bobby. He wants you, Molly. He wants you, Richard. You, Gayla. He wants you, Donnie. He wants you, James. He wants you, Margaret. He wants you, Melvin. He wants me too. Just like I mentioned this morning about that preacher. He wanted him. It's kind of sad when you see the aftermath. You say, how could that happen? Don't give no place to the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But the first thing, stay in church. Man, I'll tell you what the church told me about Jesus. The first church, the church told me about a place called hell. Church told me about a place called heaven. It told me the Lord loved me. It told me the Lord saved me. It was in the church where I heard the good news. It was in the church, boy, I'll tell you what. Where I found out about the love of God. Amen. Lord, we just pray, dear Father, tonight. Lord, I told Melvin I wish one day I would be a big preacher. I'm certainly not, but I have the desire. It's in my heart. I look forward to today, Father. I could do better than I've done tonight. But I pray you'll bless, Lord, the efforts Father made tonight. And may, Lord, I pray something said tonight cause us, Lord, to be more steadfast in the work of God. Lord, in the church of God, Lord, I pray. Lord, none of us fall out by the way, but I pray, Lord, we'd stay, Lord, in the place you put us. And work, Lord, till you come. And I pray, dear Father, Lord, we'd bear some fruit and be faithful about it. And we'll thank you and praise you, whatever you do. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to ask everybody to stand tonight. And I don't know how the message went to you. I don't know if you got anything out of what I said tonight or not, but I'll tell you one thing. What I told you is true. If you get out, it'll start on one night. One night will lead to another night. That'll lead to another night. Next thing you know, buddy, you'll be like my car. You won't be running at all.
Amen. 171. 171.
Tonight, boy, he loves you. You ought to get to him. You ought to stay with him. Jesus alone. Oh, I love his song right here. Listen to the words of this.
I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end.
If you can just get to Jesus.
I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
We'll sing all this song tonight because it's good.
Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior.
Yes,
one who can help
my burdens to bear.
I must tell Jesus.
He all my cares and sorrows will share. What about it?
I must tell Jesus.
I cannot bear my burdens alone.
I must tell Jesus.
Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Hold on a minute, Brother Bevan, before you sing that last hymn here. Is there anybody here tonight? I'm right where I need to be, Brother Eddie. I'm as close to God as I need to be. I'm not far away. I'm in the center of God's will. See, what I'm trying to tell you is we sit here tonight. We know we need to draw near. The Bible does say draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. We know we need to draw nigh. The sad thing is we don't do it. I'll tell you this, buddy. The Lord desires that more than anything. He wants to have a close walk with you just as much as you need a close walk with Him. Man, that's what He's about. He's the Lord. He's the good shepherd that cares for the sheep and loves the sheep. And I'll tell you, this song is so true. We are tempted. We are tried. We do need a great Savior. One who can help our burdens to bear. And you won't make it without His help. He does give grace and He gives sufficient grace. I'll tell you what, you ought to think about this last line in this song right here. You ought to think about the point. You ought to make it real and personal. If you need to come tonight, I wish you would. We'll sing this last hymn right here.
Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. Over the world, the victory to win.
That's how you'll get victory.
I must tell Jesus.
must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
Amen. I forgot to bring my dynamite tonight. But maybe someone's got a word on your heart tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
language when she touched him. That's right. She was showing her need for him. She's right. Molly said that's a language she was saying there.
Richard might have an Eskimo-Larry to pay for us. He's too hard to sing.
But I know that all of us in our lives, we need Jesus.
Yeah.
Regardless of what.
That's right, Molly. You're right.
And as this world gets rougher, we'll probably even need him even more.
Flyers, they don't.
Because it's going to get rocky for us all.
She's right. She's right on the money. She's
the
definitely.
The thing about the Christian, we've got someone to go to.
The non-Christian,
don't.
That's right,
Bonnie. And he's their pain. And Satan will just stay in verse for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But he'll always be with us if we walk with him.
You're right on the money.
I love him tonight.
Amen.
I thank him for that blood on Calvary.
Heaven.
And I'm looking for it. I don't know who else is looking for it.
Woo! Heaven. Yeah, I wish I could pull back the veneer and show you what's around the corner over the hill in the days to come. I don't. I just know the Bible says perilous times.
Can you sit now?
Bless you.
So it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a
living God. Yeah, Hebrews there. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And I'm glad, praise God, those hands are never pierced. A token of His love to usward. Man, I tell you what, He ain't ashamed of those wounds, and I'm not neither. Like she said, she thanked the Lord for wounds, shed His blood for her. But I tell you what, buddy, you trespass that love, end up in hell. You left hell to pay, and you'll pay it too. Anybody else got a word on your heart tonight?
I thank God for this day. Thank you for His blessings and for answering prayers. And I was just as Sister Molly talking about the quality of the issue of blood. And
yeah.
I've read that many times. I've heard it preached on. I heard it preached on this morning.
Amen.
You know, and I'll try to get it in my mind just when she talked about it, prayer that, you know, the woman come to him, and he was a crowd of people.
Yeah.
And she touched him, and he asked the people around him, "Who touched me?" He said,
"Right.
I heard you go out of."
Yeah.
Amen.
And, but you know what he felt go out in was love.
Yeah.
You know, he's just there was something special about him. And I've never seen a problem that I created or anybody else created that was solved any other way except with that love.
That's
right. Love.
And even, you know, from the simplest thing, salvation is just accepting His love and loving Him back. That's simple.
That's right, brother.
You know, and
that's right, brother.
It's made it look hard a lot of times, and a lot of the condiments that go with the church and the buildings and everything, but, you know, it's Christ came simple.
It's true. The Bible said, man, it doesn't harm the simplest. It's in Christ. Just common salvation. Get to Jesus. Get to Him as quick as you can.
Yes. But anyway, yeah. I was at Palomato. I want to ask everybody to remember, I've got a friend there, and he's originally born, raised, lived over around the field area over in Casey County there. He lives in Russell Springs now. His name's Pete Holzclaw.
Y'all remember Pete Holzclaw?
He's just a very sick man. I've worked with him for years, and he's got cancer, and he's been in Lexington the last few days. He's come home, and they've just moved into his liver, and they've got hospice coming in. But in my way of seeing, he ain't got long left, but I'm not the one that makes that call.
Right.
But I'm not sure if he saved it or not, but I need to find out. I've got to make another trip up there today. I went today. Hard to go because he's really pitiable, you know. But and my brother, we tomorrow will be having open heart surgery, and they 4 bypasses and the valve replaced and, or worked on, however they do it. Because a lot of them remember my family, my wife, the boys, and remember circumstances in my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the right thing. I'll be where I need to be.
Amen, Brother Richard. Amen.
I'll
be
next Sunday.
I'm
no singer, but one of the days I'm
going to
sing
in
that heavenly choir.
Amen. Amen, Sister Gayla. And just like you, I'll sing on that day.
God is love, and He wants us to love everybody, no matter what.
That's right. That's right. Amen. God bless you. Yeah, boy, you're doing good tonight. I like that song, The Shadow of the Cross. You're doing a good job leading on it. Amen. Amen.
It'll be patient
with me putting up me on these years, you know, since we're 49 years of believing, you know. I haven't been sorry at times I failed the Lord a lot of times. I'm still like a baby in some places against, you know, but He understands every one of the ways, you know, I pray. Being patient with me. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Nevin. Anybody else came down in your heart? Man, I'll tell you right now, that's probably a good place you'd be right now.
I'm going to play for it, sir. I love it, music. It's the first time I've been there.
Yeah, I think it's the one playing it makes a difference. I'll tell you right now, buddy, he definitely blessed the Lord. Maybe someone else got another prayer request. I promise you this, I do pray over these. I do. She's got sick in her lungs, is that what you're saying? Like pneumonia? Bless you, Molly. You say it's your brother? Yeah. Amen. Well, remember that. I don't mind having trouble. What we need to do is make sure it don't end up being big trouble. You know, the Bible said all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said in the world, you'll have tribulation. But He said, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. And I know we ain't home yet. There's a lot of bumps in the road between here and home. But I promise you this, praise God, we'll get home. It'll seem as nothing. The toils of the road will seem as nothing, old song says. But remember that Molly's brother there, she said they was having some troubles up there. Remember them. I remember that revival this week at Bethel. Remember me. I always need your prayers. If anything I can do to help anybody, let me know. I'll do everything in my power to help anybody. I'm not too busy to call me up, talk me on the phone or anything. Just Jessica called me this afternoon and I could tell she was wanting to talk. And the sad thing is she didn't know what to say and I didn't either. And it was kind of awkward because I knew she was wanting to talk, but she didn't know what to say. But remember Jessica and Brenda, they're home now, but they need your prayers. Remember them. Yeah. Is there anybody else tonight?
Hey, remember a fellow over here in town, Bill Decker. He's going to have a brain surgery tomorrow.
All right. Y'all remember Bill Decker?
He's been battling cancer. I think now it's on his brain. They're going to operate on it.
Remember Bill Decker. If nobody's got nothing else on your heart tonight, I want you to know I love you. Appreciate you coming. Hope you have a good, safe week. And like Molly said, we don't know what kind of weather it's going to come. They can't produce it. They can predict it. But I'll be safe this week. And don't forget to come on Wednesday night service. Don't forget to come back Sunday. Bring somebody with you. You'd be surprised what a blessing it'd be to bring somebody with you. Man, I never could ever get anybody to come.